Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
A new life has begun. Somebody say, I'm a work in progress. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them I'm better than I used to be. Amen. You may take your seat for the next few weeks. We'll pause in 2 weeks when Josh comes. But for four Sundays this month, we are going to talk about metamorphosis, about the literally transformational process that happens in lives and the life of believers. Metamorphosis. I am not who I used to be. When I hear the word metamorphosis, I automatically go back to science in elementary school, caterpillars turning into butterflies. But this is what I just want to encourage you with from the onset in this message. The day that that caterpillar becomes a butterfly is not the end. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a new season, a new chapter, a new book, a new volume, a new library. But just because you become the butterfly does not mean that your metamorphosis process is done. Can I get an amen? If you've been saved for 10 days, there's more Jesus than you know about. If you've been saved for 10 decades, there's more Jesus for you and I to know about. And so when I think about that process, and we'll break it down a little more in the next few weeks, I think about a caterpillar. Nobody oohs and ahs over the caterpillar. There's a lot of people who would call them gross. Ooh, get that away from me. That's nasty. And isn't it amazing that the same thing, I don't know a lot of people with caterpillar tattoos. I mean, I'm sure there are. I've just never seen one. But I've seen thousands of butterfly tattoos. Everybody, listen, church, falls in love with the end. But nobody appreciates the beginning and what it takes to get from the caterpillar to the butterfly. So the first season of your life without Jesus, we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. It was the gross us. It was the BC us. It was the Jesus hasn't affected my life just yet, or I haven't allowed him to affect my life just yet. That's that first phase. Then that thing wraps itself in a cocoon. And then it becomes the interesting phase. It's not what it used to be. It's not yet what it's going to be, but something's changing. I feel in my spirit, church, and those watching online today, that a lot of us are not what we used to be. And there's a lot of us that are not yet what we are going to be. But we have entered the cocoon phase where it's an interesting phase because I don't talk like I used to. I don't walk like I used to. I'm not where I should be, but I'm so grateful that I'm not what I used to be. I don't act like that anymore, but I don't act like Jesus all the time yet either, but I'm so grateful that I'm a work in progress. I've seen caterpillars together. I've seen butterflies flying together. But you know what I've never seen? I've never seen two caterpillars cocoon together. Because there will always be, and this is not on my notes, I believe this is straight from the Spirit of God. There will always be seasons in your life where you have to excuse yourself from the other caterpillars. You've got to excuse yourself from the other. And until you can fly with the other eagles, you've got to get by yourself and say, I'm going to cocoon myself right here, right now, because I believe in this season of my life, I am changing. And there's some things about the change that's going on in me and the transformation that I'm going through that you are not going to understand. I believe this is for somebody today. You've been isolated in 2023, but don't fear the isolation. Don't damn the isolation. Understand, I've been isolated for a reason, and I could not continue on with the caterpillars, and I'm not yet a butterfly, but I'm stuck in the process of change and metamorphosis and transformation and conversion. We do ourselves a disservice, church, when we act like transformation is a one-time event. We do ourselves a disservice when we act like our conversion was a one-time event. I am here to tell you, I look more like Jesus today than I did yesterday at this time. You're a different person than you were October of 2022, hopefully. Hopefully you are closer to the butterfly season, metamorphosis in your life, changing and continually becoming like Jesus. We're going to dive into in the next few months what transformation, what it means to be transformed by Christ, what it means to be converted to Christ, what it means to go through the metamorphosis with Christ. See, I want you to understand that even when you're isolated, you're never alone. Isolation and loneliness do not go hand in hand. Because I might lose some friends, but I've got a God that is with me no matter what. He's with me in the valley. He's with me on the mountaintop. He's with me when I make my bed in hell. He's with me in the heaven moments of my life. Then, as I said, we'll get to Acts and we'll talk about Saul's conversion to Paul. I have a lot of new believers in the room today, and I just want to let you know, just a spoiler, that two-thirds of the New Testament that we read was written by a man that used to kill Christians. But he went from a caterpillar to a butterfly. He went through a metamorphosis process. There were some people who walked out on him when the changes in his life began to take place. Can I encourage you to take notes of those who stick by you in the process of the cocoon? Take notes of the people that say, I don't understand what changes you're making, but I'm your friend, and I'm going to be here to pray for you. I'm going to be here to stand with you, and I'm going to make sure that through this process, you get to where God is calling you to be. We'll look at the process of metamorphosis in believers, and we'll look at the why. Why does God want to change us? Why does God want us to be transformed? Believers in the room today, there are so many things I could tell you about metamorphosis, but this is what I'll begin with. That if God's goal for us was to be saved and spend eternity in heaven with Him, if that was His only goal, the day that you said yes to Jesus, you would have dropped dead. But the fact that you got saved, the fact that you followed Him into the waters of baptism and were filled with His Spirit, the fact that you've been saved for 10 months, 10 days, 10 years, is that God has a plan for you. And God is wanting you to go through a metamorphosis so that you can turn back and say, hey, there's a better way. You don't have to slum around with the caterpillars no more. You don't have to be like you are today. There is a better way, and that's a person named Jesus. Philippians, who is written by Paul, formerly Saul the Christian killer, says in verse 12, the NLT says it like this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. That's why I wanted us to declare I'm a work in progress. I have not arrived, you have not arrived. We are further in our journey than we have ever been. And for those of us that are following Jesus and operating in faith, we are closer to the God-ordained goals and promises in and on our life than we have ever been before. But I never want to get arrogant with how far I've come, because it has nothing to do with me, but the God that is in the cocoon with me. I'm on the potter's wheel, and He is making and shaping me to become like Him. One translation says verse 12 like this, I don't have it all together yet, but I'm better than I used to be. I'm not speaking from the destination. I'm speaking from a little further down the road in the journey. See, when you hear great men and great women of God, and I'm proud of Mario for turning off the music and turning on some podcasts. I've learned more in podcast, whether it's ministry, business, or success. I've learned more in a couple years of podcasting than I did in 13 years of school. And instead of bumping with whatever you bump with, instead of singing along with Taylor Swift, I'm so tired of hearing about Taylor Swift. You could literally press play and you could grow in the 20 minutes to work. If it's a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian podcast, you can literally open the throne room of God with a 10-minute trip to work. I want to encourage you to get around people that are not, that haven't arrived at the destination, but are further along in their journey. Let me break it down and make it as simple as I can. If you're single and want to get married, hang around and talk to somebody who's been married more than 10 minutes. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. More than 10 years, less than two spouses. It didn't work very good over here, David. Let me say it to you, to this side. You want to talk to somebody that's been married longer than 10 years, but less than two spouses. I mean, they've been married once. You said, yeah, but I could learn something from those who've been married a lot of times. Oh, sure, you could. But it's the same reason why you don't take workout advice from me. I can tell you things that work, but if I'm not working them, why would you listen to me? You're going to have to search somebody. Don't take parenting advice from somebody with no kids or bad kids. Find somebody whose kids, not that they've been perfect, but at 18, 19, they're contributing to society. They're working 40 hours a week. They're not in jail every other weekend. They're not blowing, snorting, or snuffing any of their money up. Get around people who are further in their journey. Paul said, I haven't arrived. He said, I'm just further than you are. He's talking to the church at Philippi. I have not arrived, but I've been walking with Jesus a long time. Jesus has transformed my life. I've gone from a caterpillar to a butterfly. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess. How many of us will press to possess for the last 3 months of this year? Let us prep in October, November, and December so that when the clock strikes midnight on December 31st, we are not getting ready. We are ready for a new year. We are not getting ready for God to do it. We are saying, God, the last 90 days, I have pressed to possess. I've done everything I can in my prayer closet. I've done everything I can in my mind, in my spirit, in me, God, and I'm ready for you to do your part. He said, I press on to possess that perfection. Here's the thing about perfection. You'll never attain it. But if you press towards it, you'll be better at the end than you were at the beginning. The old saying is you shoot for the moon, and if you miss it, you hit the stars. Say, man, I just want a job. That's not big enough thinking. I want $500,000 for my family a year. You say, what if I miss it? What if all your goals is a job and you get a job? There's a big difference between that and your goal being $500,000 a year for your family. And if you miss that goal and only hit $400,000, oh no. Some of us need to set and press harder. Man, I just wish my parents would shut up. How about they get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? I just wish I could get rid of him or get rid of her. Maybe God wants to transform them. And while you go through your metamorphosis and you're leaning on Jesus, what if they get in a cocoon and go through a metamorphosis, and at the end of the process, instead of God giving you a new problem, you get a new creation? Some of our prayers are going to be new problems in 2024. Instead of allowing God to do something where you're at right now, and instead of a new problem, you'll get a new creation. But I press on to possess. See, we're getting into spooky season. Halloween's coming. Everybody's going to be talking about ghosts and goblins. I encourage you, don't go see the crazy movie that they remade, The Exorcist. Don't go see it. Don't open up that portal, please. Because you're going to be in an altar waiting on somebody to cast out a devil that you invited in and gave popcorn to. But I press on to possess. Check this out. He said, I press on to possess, to lay hold on, to put my hands on, to embrace that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. You need to be possessed, but you need to be possessed with the Holy Spirit, not the worldly spirit. And before you can possess it, God has to possess us. Before you embrace those things, realize God has embraced you. Realize while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Before I could reach out and embrace my wife in love, I first had to be embraced by God to find out what true love was so that I could be the husband that I'm called to be. Some of us are trying to possess something and we have yet to be possessed. We are wanting to embrace something, but we have yet to be embraced. Verse 13, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. The butterfly gets no positive reinforcement by thinking about what it used to be as a caterpillar. The legs are different. The body's different. The functionality of the body's different. What it can do and what it can't do is different. I cannot compare where I am and look backwards to see where I used to be because that old man has died, and that way will not work in God's way. And I want to encourage somebody today, you need to be freed from your past. The only time you look back is to praise God to see how far he's brought you from, or to remember a testimony of what God did then that can encourage you to what he can do now. Can I encourage a butterfly today? Caterpillar season is over. You don't need to revisit that space. Be grateful that you're not there anymore. Be grateful that you're not that anymore. But press on to what God has for you and submit to the transformation and metamorphosis process. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting the past. Forgetting the mistakes. Learn from them, but forget the mistakes. Forgetting the bad marriage. Forgetting the bad job. Forgetting the mistakes that we make. Learn from them, but press on ahead. I'm going to take that season, I'm going to grow from it, I'm going to learn from it, but I'm never going back there again. I've got a future that is secure in Christ. Verse 14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. We're going to be very surprised. We're going to be very surprised at races that we win here, that the trophies mean nothing there. We're going to be very shocked that our trophies here don't mean anything there. And so I say that to challenge all of us, and so the Spirit can convict all of us. Make sure, church, we are running races worthy of running. That we are fighting battles worthy to be fought. Don't waste your energy on discord and debates politically and theologically on social media. You don't know if they have a kindergarten diploma or an actual master's degree. You don't know who's on the other end. Some of us are spending so much energy training and running races that when we receive those trophies, God's going to say, that wasn't a race that was even worth your time. So we press in to the race that God has called us to and has given us the power to complete a heavenly prize through Christ, which is calling us. What does it mean to be transformed, church? In my final minutes, I want to encourage you that transformational is everything about you. Some of us act as if our yes to Jesus just transformed our eternity. If the only thing you cared about when you got saved was, can I escape hell and get into heaven, but you haven't done anything since that proclamation, I question whether you were really transformed. Because again, you're talking destination. The journey is important on how you get to that destination. Others, yes, seems to me that some of us think that our yes to Jesus just transformed our Sunday. But right when we leave this house, we go right back to how we were living, right back to how we were talking, right back to those caterpillar friends, right back to people that don't understand the new you, right back to people that are literally holding you back from becoming what God has called you to be. The Greek word for transformed is metamorpho. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. Transformation in the Greek, metamorpho, means a marked change in four areas: in your appearance, your character, your condition, or your function. So when we talk about a metamorphosis, transform, remember, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Go through the metamorpho process. Here is something that I hate to have to say on a Sunday, but it needs to be said. When you come to an altar, it's not the end of something, it's the beginning of something. And you might become a Christian, and heaven might be your goal and your home and your destination, but you've got 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years left on this earth. This is not the end of something only. This is the beginning of something. And God says, are you willing to come to an altar and say yes to Jesus? But are you willing on Monday to say yes? Are you willing on Tuesday to say yes? Are you willing to discipline yourself to become everything that I created and called you to be? And if the answer is not yes, then you need to check your heart before you ever put feet to your faith to come to an altar. Because I don't want to make empty promises here. I don't want to receive a transformation on Sunday at 12:15, but have my life the same way it's always been for the rest of the week. Metamorpho, a change in appearance. Something should be different about us. When Jesus transforms our life, it is literally a change in our countenance, a change in the way we walk, in the way we hold ourselves. Can I encourage somebody? Quit living in fear and timidity. You're a believer, but you're walking with your shoulders slumped and your head held down. Can I encourage you? You've got the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead in your belly. If I can encourage you, God loves you. You belong to Jesus. He marked you for greatness. He called you for this time. You are anointed. You are appointed. Walk like it. Talk like it. Act like it. Live like it. Put your head high. Square your shoulders and remind everybody, I've changed. I'm not who I used to be. I graduated from high school 23 years ago. That saddens me to say. When I graduated high school, I was 160 pounds, had a full head of hair, and did not need these glasses. I went back to my high school last week and met a couple buddies that one I hadn't seen in 15 years. One were business partners, so we talk and see each other all the time. And I sat with my buddy that I hadn't seen for 15 or 16 years, and his family was there, and we were sitting in the same court that we used to play basketball in, and we were watching their daughters play volleyball, and I just sat there. And I was quiet, I was on my phone a little bit because I didn't know anybody out there. I was there for my friends, not for the volleyball game. And finally, my friend of 15, 16 years said, he goes, man, he's like, it's like a new person. And I thought he was making a joke about all of this. He said, man, you're different. I said, man, I'm a lot different. I'm a lot different than the guy you grew up with. See, when I left you, I was a caterpillar. I didn't say all this to him, but I paraphrased it. The you that you knew has died. That guy doesn't exist anymore. And I don't care whether you're disappointed or excited. That guy, if that's the guy you want, you're going to be sorely disappointed. That guy died in 1999, 2000. But you knew me as a caterpillar right as I was going into my cocoon phase. And the guy you see, the guy you hear, and the one you're talking to now is vastly different from that guy. I don't know if I'll ever be invited back. I don't know if he'll ever want to hang out with me. And that's fine because I've got new butterflies that I fly with. And I'm fine with people that will hold my past against me Because when you hold my past against me, you help my job of who I need to spend time with, who I need to do life with. You make that a very easy task. When you hold my past against me, I know you're one I'm supposed to pray for and minister to, but I can't do life with you because you're still a caterpillar or you're still in the metamorphosis process. But I'm here to tell you, the guy you see, I'm different than I used to be. My appearance has changed. There should be something visible, visibly different. Say, how is that? You know how it is. You walk into a room, there's something different about you. People will just randomly ask you, are you a believer? They don't know anything about you, but they see the difference in your life. What you look like is different. There's a change in character, number two, and I'm going to get through these other three real quick. Change in character, who you really are. Not what people think you are, not the great fake out and the faux life we live in front of people. Pastor Mandy and my kids can pretty much tell you that I am pretty much the same guy in that office, in the living room as I am right now. The only thing is I don't yell like I yell while I'm preaching. But I'm an intense, I'm a focused person on and off the platform, in and out of the church. This is what you get. You might get a 10 on Sunday. I might be an 8 Monday through Friday, but this is who I am and this is what you get. Why? Because I'm not trying to impress anybody. You're getting what God has done in me. You're getting the me. And sometimes my flesh tries to get in the way and I've got to crucify that flesh and remind the flesh, no, that's caterpillar Brandon. This is butterfly Brandon. I'm not who I used to be. Can I encourage somebody today? Quit trying to impress people. You will kill yourself trying to impress people that don't matter. Who cares what they think about your car, your clothes? Doesn't matter. You're trying to impress people you would never go to lunch with. You're trying to impress people you'd never take a vacation with. Who cares what they think? That's one of the things I love about primetime Deion Sanders. He is who he is. He's who God has made him to be. And it is not his problem what they think of him. Let me free somebody in the last 3 minutes of this sermon. It is not your problem what your mother-in-law thinks of you. It is not your problem what all your friends and ex-friends think of you. What you should concern yourself with is what does God think of me? And when I go through the metamorphosis process and I am transformed, I'm no longer looking like me, I'm looking like him, and that's all that matters. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what God knows you are. Check this out. Let's share with the world the Sunday you. Say, what does that mean, Pastor? Oh, you know exactly what it means. Unless you said it where I couldn't hear it, nobody's cussed anybody out in church today. Some of you have hidden your racism pretty good since you walked in. If you can do it for 2 hours, you can do it for 2 days. How about this? How about the reason you're acting like that? Let God transform you. Oh, it's getting quiet. Come on, you kind of tell on yourself when you get that quiet. Let's take this version of us, the Jesus loving, worshiping, praying, faith, hope, love. Let's take this version to work. Who are you really? Is this the real you or the fake you? Or is your Monday job you? Is that the fake you and this is the real you? But this is what I have a hard time feeling or hard time believing. If that's the fake you, man, you got to fake it 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week. Just be the real you. Well, I'm afraid of what's going to happen if they find out I'm a Jesus freak. Who cares? I would rather have the presence of the Father and the favor of God in and on my life. I have been called worse than a Jesus freak. I've been called worse than a holy roller. And if that's what they want to name me, that's what they can name me, because I will agree I am not who I used to be. I'm not exactly what I want to be or what I've been called to be, but I'm not that anymore. Stand on your feet. Two more of these. transform, metamorpho, a change in your appearance, your character, your condition. That word condition is different than you would think it is in English. That word condition means the order you live in, chaos versus order. Order of operations is something we hear a lot, meaning you're going to do life a lot different after you've been gone through the metamorphosis process. After you and I have allowed Jesus to transform us from the inside out, our order of operations is going to be vastly different. You're going to react to bad news differently, hopefully. You're going to react to valleys different. You're going to react to droughts different. You're going to react to leadership different. You're going to react to marriage different. It's amazing to me the disorder in our lives. And we pray about the disorder that we invite in. We want it counseled out of us. When if we would just go through the metamorphosis process. If we would just sit down with God every day and say, God, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through, but I know you've called me for greater. Changing the order of operations. Not going to hate, not going to cheat, not going to steal. Not going to treat somebody the way that they want to be treated. I'm going to treat them the way that I would like to be treated. Not how they deserve, but what I've been called to do. The order of operations is different for someone who has gone through the metamorphosis process. Change in appearance, change in character, change in condition, change in function. Function is your ability to do something. When you say yes to Jesus, church, you are automatically stronger than you were without Jesus. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you are exponentially more powerful than you were without Jesus. When you will submit, and we will submit, and I try when I'm preaching not to say you all the time, to say we, because I'm still evolving. I'm still in the metamorphosis. Remember, we have not arrived. We're on the journey. What I'm capable of doing has changed since my yes to Jesus. I've got a word for somebody as we end today. What if the reason you failed when you tried was because you hadn't been transformed? You hadn't gone through metamorpho. I'm going to encourage you to pray about it. And if you get a release in your spirit to try again, I want to tell you to do it again. Because could it be that you failed because you failed as a caterpillar, but you didn't try as a butterfly? You tried to fly when you didn't have wings. Oh, I feel it in my spirit. That's why vision can be exciting and dangerous. Because God can show me 2033. But if I try to get in 2033, in 2023, I'm still caterpillar branded. I need to be butterfly branded. What does that tell me? The next 10 years, I need to get in that cocoon and make sure that when 2033 shows up, I am ready. Can I talk to some butterflies today that you're not yet arrived? There's still more growing to do. Can I talk to some caterpillars today? You've been crawling through some stuff, and God said, I'm going to do something that's going to allow you to fly over all of that mess, but I need you to commit to the process. I need you to trust the process. Then Jaden wrote a great song called In the Waiting. And I got a whole series that I'm going to do on that eventually. What to do in that waiting season. Friends of mine down in Brownsville wrote a song called Waiting Room Faith. And it's a song God gave them about faith in the waiting room for months as their newborn infant battled a rare form of cancer. Church, it's easy for me to have faith here. But oh man, the enemy would love to bring me to my knees, taking me 300 yards that way to Northeast Methodist. I've got growing to do, and so do you. We look at it as such a slight when someone tells us, grow up. But can I tell you, as your pastor, grow up. Grow up. Ooh, I want to end with this and keep coming to this altar. This altar is open for you.
I was at a conference a couple months ago, and a new friend of mine, Pastor Kearney, said this. He said, when Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, understood as a child, talked as a child, reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But this was the rhema that God gave him that I've thought about daily since he said it. God didn't say when you became a man, I would take it away. He said, when I became a man, I put it away. When we are children, sometimes the Father has to take things away. But when you become mature in faith, come on, butterfly, put it away. So when I say grow up, it's not a slight. It's a charge, an encouragement. Put it away. It's hurting you. It's tearing up relationships. Keeping you from the promise. Put it away. Grow up. You've been a caterpillar way too long. It's time to wrap yourself in the presence of God, the things of God, and watch what God creates in that cocoon season of your life. From side to side, they've stretched. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to get ready to pray. They're going to anoint you with oil the same way that David was anointed with oil. It represents the same anointing that Jesus, when he was in the temple, said, I'm anointed to preach deliverance to captivity. It's that same anointing. The same anointing that rested on Elijah, that rested on Elisha, that rested on Moses. The same anointing that Esther operated in, that Deborah operated in, that Mary and Martha and Mary, the mother of Jesus. That same anointing is represented when we lay our hands on you and put a dab of olive oil on your head. But this is what I wanted to signify today, church. When they lay their hands on you, nothing we have. This is not olive oil from the Holy Land. This is olive oil from your HEB. But when they lay their hands on you, this is what it signifies today. Your cocoon season starts. The season where God wraps you in all that he is. Oh, two or three people just did it. When I said, when God wraps you, this is what three people just did. I feel that Holy Ghost. You've had the weight of the world on your shoulders. You feel like the enemy's been sitting on your chest. There's such a heaviness that you've been dealing with. But when I said that the anointing is going to rest on you, that God is going to wrap himself in all that he is, there was a multiple exhale in this room. And now that God is here, now that your yes has given him permission to come into your life and around your life, I am here to tell you the enemy cannot touch you. The enemy cannot take you out. Exhale, because your hope is here. Your hope is here. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all over the building. If you're in this altar, I want you to lift your hands. I want our prayer team to go ahead and start praying. But I want to pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you for what I feel. I thank you for what I hear. I thank you, Lord, that there's a commitment from dozens of people in this altar. Many more dozens watching online and dozens in this room at their seat. With hands uplifted today, God, we say, have your way. I'm tired of crawling with the caterpillars when I was meant to fly with the butterflies. God, I commit myself into your hands. God, I commit myself to the process of metamorpho and transformation. Take me from what I am to what you've called me to be. Lord, the potter's wheel is in full effect. Buff out the rough edges, the cracks, the marred places, God. Create in us, God, a new heart. Create in us, God, new vision, new ways of seeing things and experiencing things. God, there's a change in appearance. There's a change, God, in our function.